WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. One of the many issues the Los Angeles riots brought to the attention of the nation was the tension between African Americans and Koreans. Many Korean-owned businesses were targeted by looters and arsonists. With no police to protect them, some Korean merchants defended themselves with guns. My guest John Lee has been covering Black Korean conflicts in Los Angeles for the LA Times. He's been with the Times for 6 years, and before that wrote for the Korea Times. His parents emigrated to America from Korea in 1954. Lee was born in California. He told me that the riots took a spiritual as well as a financial toll on the Korean community.
I think the Koreans who were hit, the businesses and the owners who were hit by the rioting, many of them don't understand the context in which these riots came out. Many of them have been in this country less than 10 years, and their knowledge of American history may be limited because they were raised and schooled in Korea. So they're coming into Los Angeles with little background on tension that pre-existed. And to become the target of what has been described as a racial outbreak, economic clash, is very difficult for them to come to terms with, because they don't really understand what it is that they're being attacked for.
John, I'm wondering if you feel the rioting took a personal toll on you in a way. I'm wondering about the divisions that you might have felt. I suspect you have friends in the African-American community as well as in the Korean community. And I wonder if you're feeling torn at all and feeling like both sides have misunderstood each other.
Yeah, but Terry, that goes back for years. I've been covering what has been described as this Black-Korean conflict for about 6 years. And from the beginning, they're the same differences that are being described now have existed, and it's more a kind of confirmation that these are very important issues that should have been addressed before the boiling point had been reached.
John, I wonder if you've ever been in a Korean-run store at a time when there's been African-American customers in the store, and you've seen a misunderstanding happen, and you felt that you understood how the Korean shop owner and the African-American customer were misreading each other's cues, and in a way, by doing it, reinforcing each other's stereotypes. Is there an incident like that you could tell us?
I can, but in doing so, I'd just like to say that this is one of the very minor incidences that really is more a symptom rather than a cause for racial tension,
right,
among Koreans and African Americans. But something as simple as placing change on the counter rather than placing it in the customer's hand. It's not limited to Koreans, but in Korea, that's very common practice to put the money on the counter because of some very kind of Confucian, almost Victorian moral values that restraints on behavior. Physical contact between male and female in that kind of situation might be frowned upon in very strict Confucian sense. And it's not uncommon for a woman merchant to place the money on the counter when there's a male customer, just to avoid that physical contact.
Even if the customer is holding out his hand, waiting for the change.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's been the case. And in the case that I've observed, I did see a tinge of irritation on the face of the customer when he clearly was holding out his hand and the money was placed on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done so without eye contact. It wasn't done with any kind of maliciousness on behalf of the the merchant, but I know it was perceived as a disrespect, an act of disrespect. And to observe that and perhaps multiply it by hundreds of incidences that one person may go through in the course of a few years, you can imagine what kind of frustration builds up and what kind of feeling of hatred could build up over these minor slights.
I wonder if you think that many Koreans who have come to this country in the past few years have street smarts. And by that I mean, I think to run any store in an urban neighborhood, you have to really be able to tell the difference between a boast and a threat. And you have mm-hmm. to tell the difference between someone who comes in and maybe looks tough but really isn't going to be dangerous and someone who walks in and looks tough and in fact might rob your store in a minute or assault you. And these are judgment calls that you have to make all the time when you're in an urban neighborhood in which there is a lot of crime. And do you think it's hard for people from another country, particularly from a Korean culture, to come in and understand the cues? You know?
Clearly. I think you can ask native-born U.S. citizens here, put them on the street in an area that they're not familiar with, and they'll tell you that they're at a loss for how to interact with people. I've seen it in our reporting staff, which, if you can imagine, that there are certain areas of the city where it's expected reporters of color are sent regularly to cover the news that goes in there. And it's because this perception that reporters of color are going to have some better sense of how to deal with the people in those communities.
My guest is Korean-American journalist John Lee. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is John Lee, a reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Do African-Americans from the neighborhood work in Korean-owned businesses very often?
No, not very often. There are some cases. I think Koreans have... It's been called to Korean merchants' attention that this is one of the sources of resentment, that Koreans will not employ African-Americans. And I know that in recent years, there's been an effort to hire some of the residents in the communities that these businesses are in.
Who are they hiring? Are they hiring other Koreans, family members, or white people?
The smallest stores employ, usually they won't employ people outside of the family simply because they don't have the money to pay them. In other cases where the businesses are a little larger and they do require stalking people or people outside of the family, I know that there has been a tendency to hire Latinos, some of the immigrant Latinos who live in those neighborhoods also. And I think that's out of a sense of identification with somebody who's going through an immigrant experience and who might not be at a language advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I know many Korean merchants have expressed to me the difficulty in hiring an African American youth who is very wise in the ways of the neighborhood and has language facility and is put in a position of having to take orders from a merchant who can barely communicate in English. It's one of the factors that makes it a difficult relationship between African-American employee and Korean-American merchant. But I know merchants are beginning to see that you know, those inconveniences or those awkward situations have to be overcome, and that the issue of returning African-American dollars to the community, money that's spent by African Americans, should be returned to the community. I know that merchants are slowly coming to see that, that's a very important issue.
Now, I know a lot of African Americans said that it wasn't just the Rodney King verdict that was upsetting. It was an earlier verdict in a case where a Korean store owner killed a 15-year-old customer named Latasha Harlins after the store owner thought that the customer was shoplifting a container of orange juice. And the store owner got 5 years probation.
It was first-degree manslaughter that she was convicted of.
Well, what was the reaction? I know for many African Americans, they were really angry at the verdict. What was the reaction within the Korean community to that verdict?
I think that was one of the most underreported stories in the mainstream, is that Koreans did not, while Koreans may have identified with this merchant's struggle before the incident took place, many Koreans condemned the sentencing because they felt that the woman, the merchant, had been convicted of first degree manslaughter, and as did African Americans, many felt that the judge had effectively overruled the jury's decision. And I think that many Korean merchants felt that the legal system had once again shortchanged African Americans, and that the Korean merchant was going to be depicted as a characteristic of all Korean merchants, and I think that there was a feeling that this was a very extraordinary case, and that there was some attempt on Korean Americans, a very concerted effort to show that they felt that the legal system had failed the girl's family.
Now, I know you grew up in San Diego, but your parents would sometimes bring you to Los Angeles to shop in Koreatown there. Mm-hmm. Are any of the stores that you remember from your childhood still around now, and are they still standing after the rioting?
The riots affected many businesses, but still, Koreatown is a very densely populated area with businesses, so it's not like all of Koreatown fell to the rioting. But are you referring to the Olympic Market?
Sure.
The Olympic Market was one of the first markets, if not the first Korean market in Los Angeles, and it burned down accidentally maybe 3 years ago. And at that time, there was a real sense of loss that people who shopped at Olympic felt. It was like the passing of a friend. And I think in looking at the burned out businesses in Koreatown now, it's a similar feeling that, you know, an era has passed. Koreatown was very prosperous since the late 70s through the 80s. Many businesses opened, and to see those, you know, more than 1,800 businesses burned or looted throughout the city, there's a feeling that there's a collective sense of loss, I think, that every Korean in Los Angeles feels.
As a Korean-American journalist, what would you most like to be writing about now? What do you want to bring to the ongoing understanding of this story?
I believe the Koreans have been posed as an active agent in the racial tension that led to the outbursts. From a Korean's perspective, Koreans have operated according to the laws and the practices of this country. Perhaps in their success, they've been held up from one side. They've been held up as an example of the consummate business person or immigrant.
Enterprising, right.
Enterprising, industrious, devoted, self-exploitive almost, and successful. And when you hold that image up next to a fourth-generation African-American in this country who has seen nothing but roadblocks set up in front of him or her, suddenly that image of the consummate immigrant business person becomes a target. And I don't think it's the Korean immigrant who put themselves in that position. I think that's something that society as a whole, that the media has placed, that's a position that the media has placed the immigrant in. And from my own observation, I wonder, you know, why is that? Why do we have this model minority? Why do we have these images? And from what happened in these riots, it seems almost insidious that society will allow immigrants and African Americans to exist in these low income areas with this business customer relationship, and as long as they fight with each other, there's a sense of, oh, this is intractable racial problem. And I think in a sense it may be comforting to know that African Americans have racial problems with other ethnic groups, and I think in a sense it relieves some of the burden of a largely white dominated society that has placed African Americans in clearly a position of being discriminated against.
John Lee, he's a Korean-American reporter. He writes for the Los Angeles Times. This is Fresh Air.